B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Cam. When do you feel like the last time was where you truly had to compete for a starting job? And what's your mindset heading into this quarterback competition?
Well, as far as compete, you compete every year. I think, you know, we're all competing each and every day. And, I've been competing every single day. You know, it didn't matter what the team was, you know, because at the end of the day, if you're one game away, as I've learned in this past year, and at the end of the day, it's just about, like I say, proving your worth and doing your part.
Hey, Jared, how's it going, man? Do you view yourself as having the ability to start this season, depending on how you perform this summer?
Absolutely. I mean, I think I'm definitely ready. You know, I think I put in a lot of work this offseason to really improve mentally, physically, you know, in a lot of different areas. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm extremely excited to compete with Cam and Hoy, as we go forward in training camp and get into the season and things like that. So I'm really looking forward to the competition. I love competing in whatever it is. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Hi, Brian. It's good to see you. Now, when you signed back with the Patriots in March, I believe your agent came out and said that this was going to give you an opportunity to compete for the starting role on this team. Now, things have changed and Cam Newton joins the group. Do you still feel like you're competing for a starting spot?
I think for me, you're competing every day you go out. I mean, regardless of what the spot is, it's always a competition. And Bill said that, you know, numerous times you're going to earn what you get. So for me, it doesn't matter if there's 15 guys in the room. I'm always competing. When Tom was here, I was competing for the starting job too. Now, you know, I was probably never going to get that, but I always competed like I was going to try to beat him out. And that's the only thing that I could do to make myself better. So I think, you know, the more, you know, good players you add to a room, a group, offense, defense, team, it's always going to rise the level of everyone else up. So it's something that I've, you know, taken a part of before, and it's something that I look forward to.
And there we go. That's where we start on an agenda-free Friday. The Patriots quarterback speaking to the media, all being asked about the competition. And so that's where we will begin. It's a special edition of Agenda Free Friday today because it's the return, the triumphant return of our prodigal son. I don't think I pronounced that right. Mark the Beetle.
Prodigal is what you were looking for, but you were close.
Joins us from our Town Fair Tire Studios back in Dorchester. I'm on location in the remote A-hole chair. How you doing, Mark?
Just like things used to be. I'll correct you on all the pronunciations today, if you don't mind.
Okay. Welcome back. It's good to have you.
Awesome.
Okay, we got Tim McCone in our update studio. Agenda-free Fridays are driven by the Bernardi Auto Group. Our car buying is always agenda-free. Choose from new Acuras, Audis, Hondas, Toyotas, Volvos, and over 500 pre-owned vehicles. Bernardi for now, Bernardi for life, BernardiAutoGroup.com. The Patriots quarterbacks, again, did speak on Zoom today. We're going to play the sound from all three guys. I was pleasantly surprised with how much access we had to them. When they originally put out the schedule, they said they were going to be in a group of, I guess, all Patriots coaches and all quarterbacks today spoke. And the way they originally put out the press release made it look and sound like they were all going to be there together, like one of those, I don't know, 12-person Zoom calls, Beetle, like where they were all, like I was worried that we were only going to get.
Yeah, it's like a second-grade class right now where everyone's there and yelling and you don't really know what's going on. Sure, yeah, I thought it was going to be that, but it wasn't.
It wasn't. No, they gave Cam Newton all the time that we needed and all the time we needed with those quarterbacks. So it was good. Good for the team. And I'm glad that we have it. We start with opening takes while the call screen populates at 617-779-0985. I'll just go first quickly. And I think that the Patriots quarterback competition, and I put that in air quotes, and I don't know if I should, is officially on, where they all three spoke. They all three talked about the competition. And to me, tellingly, Mark, on the Patriots.com official website, on their depth chart, in their quarterback position, they have listed Cam Newton and Jared Stidham as co-starters. And, you know, like you, I follow this depth chart from time to time because I think there's tells there every now and then. You know, not always. I bet a lot of times the football department says to the web department, go put whatever you want over there. We don't care. But sometimes there's messages in there on the team official website. And I've never seen this before. I've been looking at this thing for 20 years. I have never seen them put two names at one position in the starting role like they have at quarterback, Cam Newton and Jared Stidham. And I think that's, I mean, that's telling. If for nothing else, then they're carrying on the charade of this competition. What do you make of it?
What happened? They couldn't find the third spot to fit in Brian Hoyer? Why is it only the two? Brian Hoyer's cute, hearing that Brian Hoyer sound, by the way, that he thought he was competing with Tom Brady, and now he also thinks he's in the competition. But this is what it was supposed to be. This is what we thought it would be, that it's Stidham versus Cam Newton. So I don't mind it one bit. Cam Newton better be the starter, but this is not a problem to me. This is good.
Do you think it's a legit competition?
No, I don't. I don't think it's a legit competition. I think the Patriots are going to do everything in their power to make sure that Cam Newton is their starting quarterback by the time they get to week one. I think the coaches are going to bend over for Cam Newton. I think they're going to facilitate him being the quarterback of this team. I don't think they're, you know, uneven ground, but I think it's good that they're going to make Cam Newton think that he is.
So you're okay with the charade?
Yes, I am okay with the charade because I think the charade may have a purpose, and that is getting Cam Newton to earn it and Cam Newton not feel like he is the guy.
Okay, so I'm not sure it's a charade, but I think the thing on the team website with the depth chart is charade-like, and I love it. I love it. This is what we're in for this month. So that's my opening take. I want to go to McBones, Tim McCone.
We're in the McBone zone now.
Yeah, his opening take, because I think it ties into this, and I think he raises an interesting point off of something Newton said today. Go ahead, Tim.
Yeah, I don't think it's necessarily a charade. I think the Patriots have real question marks in terms of the health of Cam Newton. Like, I think they want him to be the starting quarterback this year, but I think, you know, Cam kind of told you today he's not necessarily 100%. Like, for a guy that ended up saying he felt amazing, he spent the first 45 seconds of that answer talking about, you know, we just got to be ready for opening day. I'm working with the trainers every day. So,
Tim,
to me...
Can I play that sound?
Yeah.
So here's what you're talking about. This is Phil Perry. I think it's number 12, Jimmy, and it's about his health and his overall excitement level. Listen to this.
I wanted to ask you, because you did mention in your roundtable, hey, you know, my film maybe the last couple of years wasn't exactly what I wanted it to look like, but we all know that you were playing through some things. I'm just wondering how you're feeling physically right now, and if you are where you'd like to be, if there's an excitement level associated with that because you haven't maybe been 100% in a while.
Well, just right now, for me, the season's not here yet, you know, so I do still have time and, you know, working with the training staff here and as well as, you know, having all the outlets, you know, at your disposal to get better and to, you know, be as confident as be, you know, come opening day or when the team may need you, you know, I think that's the most important thing. You know, as far as how I feel right now, I feel amazing. Feel great. Probably not any different than any other person that's in that locker room right now. So I'm extremely optimistic about that. But yeah, through it all, you know, it's just, you know, putting yourself in the position to be in the best shape and have your body in the best possible situation, you know, when you actually need it.
Okay. So did he give himself some outs there, Tim?
Yeah, I think so. And I don't think he feels 100%. Again, for a guy that says he feels amazing, the first 30 seconds of that answer, talking about how we're leading up to opening day and that's really what's important, is not exactly reassuring. And I think that's kind of what's given the Patriots pause in terms of naming him the starter, right? Kind of gives you an out, too, if you're going with Stidham, instead of saying, oh, Cam's hurt, now it's your team. Instead, it's, oh, you actually beat him out in the competition. It kind of gives him some extra added motivation. I also think, you know, one of the underrated things with Brady here over the last 20 years is that he always played, right? He was always available, and you always had that quarterback, and now that's not such a sure thing. And so, I get that, you know, he wanted to get a massage, and he wanted a wide receiver, and so obviously you had to let him go. But, man, I don't know.
We'll get to your bitterness here later on, McBone. But I think it's, you know, to pick up on that, he says season's not here, so we do have time. Feels like he's giving himself an out. And then he said at one point in there to be ready for whenever the team needs you, like almost implying that, you know, I am going to start on the back. I mean, I don't know. You could really read into that if you want. So good job, McBone. Just to clarify, though, on his overall health and how he feels right this second, Greg Bedard at the very end did follow up because I think that begged a follow up, Jimmy. So give me number 18.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think you've had right shoulder surgery twice in recent years. I'm just wondering, how is your shoulder feeling when you guys get to those 2 weeks of practices that all you're going to get before the season? Are there any restrictions on you? Like, are you going to need maintenance days or anything as far as your shoulder? Or are you good to go?
At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
Okay. My only problem there is they called Bedard sir. But he says he's full go. But I think McBone raises an interesting point on Newton maybe giving himself an out. Beetle, what do you got?
I want to talk about Greg Bedard. As you just mentioned him, he has a column that went up yesterday on BostonSportsJournal.com. The headline is, "The Patriots should do the right thing and adjust Cam Newton's contract." And he does say ... eventually, but he makes the case on Boston Sports Journal that the Patriots need to do what he thinks is the right thing by giving Cam Newton a raise. The point that he points out is the point to give Cam Newton a raise is at the end of training camp before the regular season when he is named eventually the starter, which I think he eventually will be. But he then wants to all of a sudden open up the checkbook and give Cam Newton more money, which I say, screw that. No, there is no more money for Cam Newton for beating out Jarrett Stidham and Brian Hoyer. And what we know is sort of an abbreviated preseason. There's no preseason games to even be played. I like the acquisition. I want Cam Newton here. I want Cam Newton to be the starter. But nobody wanted this guy. Nobody wanted Cam Newton. He was on the league's trash heap. And I think as much as we're excited about Cam Newton being here, I think we also have to sort of recognize how close he is to being another washed-up veteran quarterback in this league. You know, the Patriots sat around with no fear of anyone else going after Cam Newton, and they waited on him, and he accepted the deal, and now he has to prove himself, not only in this preseason in practice, he's going to have to prove himself in actual games that he can still play, and he can still do it over a decent period of time. Let this guy prove it in real games that matter in a season that we is really, let's be honest, is a little bit up in the air, and then start talking about money. I would not give Cam Newton more money for the sake of the locker room politics or making everybody feel good and have, you know, other players respect it until you get to a point where you would want to talk to Cam Newton about signing him beyond this season. Talk about maybe next year or the year beyond that. And I don't think the Patriots are likely going to get to that point. I think Cam Newton's a one-and-done situation, but it also just drives me crazy, if I can scratch this itch, that Bill Belichick is always portrayed as a guy who just, you know, manages everything, and he's so shrewd, and he knows the room, and he worries about the politics and keeping guys happy and keeping everything in check, you know, monetarily or otherwise. If I were Julian Edelman, who's brought up in this story last year with Antonio Brown, I'd still be pissed off at the money they gave Antonio Brown on day one. Antonio Brown's a dick. He was gone in a week for a reason. It was the most predictable thing ever. And they gave him $10 million guaranteed walking through the door. More money than Julian Edelman had ever earned in a season. They gave it to that guy on day one. So if I were him, I'd still be pissed about that. But this idea that Bill Belichick is always keeping his best guys happy or keeping the locker room happy, yeah, that might be true, except for maybe like the best players that have ever played for him. Brady left unhappy. You know, go far back. You want to go to Richard Seymour being traded away. He was unhappy at the end. Rob Gronkowski. I think those are like Hall of Fame level players that seem to be unhappy at the end. And some of it was contract and some of it was other stuff. But save the whole, he's going to keep everybody happy. He knows how to do it. Get out of here with that.
Okay, well, so by the same token, Beetle, do you worry that Newton is going to now look at the landscape and say, well, you guys just saved yourself about $35 million between the opt-outs and the settlements with Antonio Brown and the estate for Aaron Hernandez, that, well, you can now pay. You told me for weeks you couldn't pay me because of the cap. Now you have $35 million in cap room. Are you worried that Newton's going to take it the wrong
way? He might take it the wrong way, but if he gets to a point where he's played for a month or 6 weeks and he's played at a high level, then I don't think it's a problem to give him the money. But you've got to earn that. You've got to go out and do it. I mean, you want to talk about his health, it's a real question, but beyond his health, is he going to get healthy and be fully healthy and then also play at the high level of 2015 that I think we all hope is the case for him? If that happens, then I don't have a problem. But we're not going to do this, Greg Bedard, at the end of camp when he beats out a guy who's never started a game and a guy who shouldn't have ever started a game in Brian Hoyer, okay? Those guys don't count. You don't get a reward for beating out those two guys in this particular preseason.
At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
Great. Okay, if you're full go, go prove it, and then you can get paid.
And don't call him sir. Beetle's back. Beetle's
at
back.
At this particular point in time, sir, I'm full go.
Beetle's back, and he's already bashing Greg Bedard. Good start, Beetle. Your thoughts, folks, 617-779-0985. What did you think about what you heard today? The quarterback competition that we were promised has begun, and the team's pushing it harder than ever. What are your thoughts on it? Is it real? Do you want it to be real? To you, right after these words.
Felger and Mass, number one, because they know how to build winning relationships.
The players are arrogant dirtbag.
Dingbat.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, Cam, when you were in the round table with OBJ and Todd and action, when your agent called and said the Patriots are interested, and you said, me and Belichick? How's that going to mesh? How would you describe how it's meshing to this point?
Listen, there's a lot of things that I just say that there's a perception, but at the end of the day, you know, it's football. I've loved it ever since I've been here. You know, I've been here going on a week now. And, you know, just, you know, you hear rumors about certain things, but, you know, once you finally get settled in on things like that, you know, none of that really matters. It's just all about, you know, finding a way to prove your worth on a team.
That's Cam Newton from today. Mark the Beetle Bertrand in for Tony Maz. Tim McGone in our update studios. As promised, we get right to your phones. James in Dorchester on Cam Newton. Go ahead, James.
Yeah, you guys. I just don't get the inclination that the conversation the Patriots had with Cam was the only reason they didn't pay him is because they didn't have the funds. I mean, it should have been they didn't pay. Even if they had the money, they wouldn't pay him because he hasn't performed the past couple of years. He hasn't been healthy. So I just don't get why it's automatically assumed that they would have paid him off bad when he hasn't done anything in 2 years. So if he wants his money, I mean, the incentives are in the contract. Play well, and he'll get his money.
Yeah, James, let me tell you that it's just the salary cap's used as the excuse. That's why they have the salary cap, so they can blame the salary cap. The truth is they don't want to pay him, and they don't have to pay him. No one else wanted him. The market dictated that they could pay him a minimum salary, and so that's what they did. It had nothing to do with the cap. But if you admit that first thing, then you're admitting that you don't want to spend money, and so you blame the cap. This is the whole reason they have the salary cap. It's an ownership excuse. But, you know, to say, Beetle, that he's only worth that because he hasn't done anything in 2 years, what has Teddy Bridgewater done? I mean, I know he won his games in New Orleans, but Teddy Bridgewater is not even a legit, bona fide, full-time starter in this
league. Yeah, but at least he's been available. I mean, availability counts for something, right?
That's true.
I mean, so I mean, I understand what you're saying, but Cam Newton's problems are health related, and he hasn't been able to play because of the health. And when he has played, he's done a pretty terrible job. He hasn't looked like himself. So I think there's plenty of reasons why he didn't have a market. And at the end of the day, that's something he has to come to terms with. Nobody wanted him. Nobody wanted this guy. Would he be employed right now if he hadn't finally accepted the deal from the Patriots? I don't know that that's a sure bet.
No.
He'd be sitting at home waiting for a team to call. So now if he beats out Brian Hoyer, who sucks, and sucks so badly that the Patriots won't even fit him in as the third guy in the competition. I mean, if I'm his agent today, if I'm Brian Hoyer's agent, I'm calling the Patriots saying, hey, when he accepted the $1 million deal, you told him he was going to compete, and now he can't even compete on the webpage. I mean, he can't even compete on your website. Forget in real life. So I just look at it and say, sorry, once you earn it, I get it. But this is not the time to consider it if you beat out the other two guys you're going against. And by the way, that crowd, by the way, I believe in the cap. You know, it's a real thing. It's not total crap. It's somewhat crap. And I know Greg Bedard does. We've talked about it many times on post game. You know he believes in it. When you're a cap guy and you believe in rolling over the money to next year, you also highly tout the low risk, high reward guys. Why do you want to turn Cam Newton into a high risk guy by throwing a bunch of money at him before he even plays a game? The thing you give them credit for is that it's low risk, high reward. Well, when you just dump money on them, it's now high risk because you've given them all the extra dough.
So look, if you're asking me, should they pay him? No, I'm even borderline on the fence whether I want him here at all. So, you know, never mind, pay him. To me, the only reason,
I'm glad he's here.
The only reason you would pay him, Beetle, is if during the negotiation you said to him, Cam, we can't pay you because of the cap. We can't pay you because of the cap. Look at our cap. We only have $500,000 against the cap. Look at our cap. And if that was your pitch to him, and then $35 million falls into your lap between settlements and opt-outs, then I think you have to, you know, address that if you really want him, if you really like him, because he has a little bit of a beef. Now, I don't know what the Patriots told him. I don't know what the Patriots told him in those negotiations. Let me ask you, do you think there's a culture question with him here? You know, the thing that Reese was just asking him about, how he's going to mesh, how he himself said, Newton himself said, how am I going to mesh with this guy? Never mind his former teammate, Kyle Love, saying this week that he doesn't know if Cam Newton can take the coaching that Bill Belichick likes to give his players. Do you think there's an issue there?
I think the culture part of it is totally overblown. I don't think there's an issue there. The coaching part that Kyle Love mentioned, which is that Cam Newton didn't really get coached after games because the coaches feared he was sensitive. Now, I don't know what that stemmed from, if they had an incident where he was sensitive, he didn't like taking coaching. I mean, I'd have more fear if that story was from Kyle Love, that Cam Newton lashed out at coaches, that Cam Newton didn't, you know, want to listen to coaches, or Cam Newton felt like he knew it all and didn't need the coaching, like, you know, I don't know, Tom Brady. If it was one of those situations, I think it might be a little different. But if the situation is the coaches stayed away from him because they feared him getting upset, well, those are bad coaches. And I don't think anybody on this staff, whether it's McDaniels or Belichick, will fear going to Cam Newton and giving him the coaching. And if he doesn't take the coaching, he's on the edge of having his entire career fall apart. I mean, I hope everyone understands how quickly you can go from being league MVP 5 years ago to being out of the league 6 years later. That's not unheard of. It's happened before. So he needs to take the coaching. I don't think the guy has a choice. And so I don't think he has much of a choice in terms of just accepting the money and dealing with it. And I don't think he has much of a choice in terms of how he acts and conducts himself when it comes to taking coaching. He's got to take it.
I agree.
Everything's on the line for him.
I agree, but we've said that about other guys, and they couldn't do it. Max in the truck, your thoughts on Cam Newton.
Hey, what's up, guys? Beto, I was a little worried you were joining Felger on the 2-6 show. That's why I tweeted at you. I saw that Zolak and Hardy were talking that you were going to be on with Felger. So I think Cam Newton, if he can stay healthy, I know. If Cam Newton can stay healthy, I definitely think he's going to be the starter. No doubt in my mind he's going to be the starter. If he can stay healthy, I think it's going to be a...
All right, Max, thanks for the call.
Okay, well, you dropped it. That wasn't me. I was going to let him finish the thought. So, Beetle...
I got that power here, you know.
Oh, good. So do it anytime.
I was confused.
The question about the competition, I think it's Cam Newton competing against himself. Like, so that's where I think it's kind of... Like, if Cam Newton takes the coaching and fits in and does what they ask and is healthy, I don't see how.
How does he not win the job under those situations? No, he has to win the job.
Right. He's just a more talented guy.
Max is right. He's going to be the starting quarterback. I mean, listen, if he's not the starting quarterback, you're right. No one's going to look at how, even if Stidham is great, no one's going to give him the credit for it. It's going to be about how Cam Newton screwed up and didn't win it.
How Newton wasn't ready or didn't fit or couldn't take it in some way, shape, or form, because that's what I think it's going to be. That's what I think it's going to be. And so whether that's, you know, a phony competition or not, I do think there's a chance Cam Newton is cut in camp. That I do, because the number one piece of evidence to me is that his contract is cuttable. And if you've got a cuttable contract and they don't like you, they'll cut your ass, okay? It doesn't matter who you are. If they owe you money or there's an issue there contractually, then, you know, maybe that saves your job. But Cam Newton signed a contract that was meant to be cut, which means he'll be cut if that's what they want. It's an agenda-free Friday. Everything's on the board. Eric in Boston is a Red Sox thought. Go ahead, Eric.
Yes. So I think Chaim Bloom is doing a great job so far managing the team, because he's gotten Kevin Pillar, he's gotten Jose Peraza, he's gotten Verdugo, and they've all been team to hitting well. So I think Chaim Bloom is doing a job so far.
Beetle, your thoughts?
Yeah, how's that rotation look? I mean, listen, I do give him credit for the moves that were just named, but those are not major moves. And by the way, getting Verdugo, he also traded Mookie Betts to get Verdugo. So slow down on the credit for getting Verdugo. I just think that this team should have something more in their rotation than what they have now. If you are supposed to find the undervalued guys, and that's sort of the category that Chaim Bloom is in, right? He's one of these small market GMs that finds undervalued players and gets the maximum out of them, maybe in short spurts, a year or two. I just wish he had found one of those, one or two of those guys to plug into the rotation that look like guys that belong in the major leagues.
You don't give Martin Perez that?
I would say he counts, but there needed to be more of that. There needed to be another move like that because, oh, it's so bad. It's painful to watch this team. This team is offensive, is what they are. And you could give Pilar credit. Pilar's been pretty good. Who else did he name?
The second baseman there.
With the P. What's his name? I'm blanking. But anyway, he's been okay. He's been a decent player. He's made some mental mistakes along the way. But, yeah, I don't know. I'm not ready to jump on the Heim Bloom train just yet. Not yet.
I'm only giving him credit if these guys can play. I'm looking for it. I'm searching for it. And I think Verdugo, I will give him credit for Verdugo, Beal, because I don't think Bloom traded Betts. I think John Henry traded Betts. It was Bloom's job to pick the players coming back from the Dodgers.
Are we still, listen, I'm always working under the assumption that Bloom's filling out the lineup card, too.
Me too.
Or having some sort of input there. Why is Verdugo not treated like an everyday player?
Thank you.
Verdugo needs to be an everyday player. This is not a platoon player that they have there. This guy needs to play every day. They need to figure that out. Heim Bloom needs to figure that out because his manager is brainless.
Well, all the jerking around with the lineup I put on the GM, not the manager, because I think the manager's just filling out what the GM says to him. But we're off and running. Agenda Free Friday. Here comes an update from Tim McCone. Back with your calls. Everything's on the board.
It's the show the crowd goes wild for. It's Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much would you say that you were able to learn from Tom Brady last year during your rookie season? And, you know, what's the thought process like with having the potential to replace, you know, one of the greatest players of all time?
No, I consider Tom a really good friend at this point. And, you know, obviously got to learn a ton from him, you know, throughout the entire year last year, just, you know, how he prepares, you know, how he, you know, just gets ready for each and every week, you know, how he leads and how he pushes his teammates every week. So there was so much to, you know, I can't just say one thing. There's a lot to take away from being around him, you know, every single day. You know, I don't really look at it as, you know, replacing Tom Brady. You know, I just want to be myself and I want to be, you know, a leader for this team and, you know, be the best teammate that I can be for this team. So I don't really look at it like that.
So Jared Stidham today, Mark the Beetle Bertrand, and for Maz in the Maz chair.
Oh, God, isn't Stidham so boring? God, he's boring.
I didn't mind that answer.
Boring.
I think he might be a little full of himself. I think he's got the confidence.
I wish he'd talk about his dog or something. I mean, it'd be more interesting than that boring answer. I'm just bored by him.
You look disgusted. Yeah, you look disgusted.
Just bored. I mean, you know what it is? Cam Newton's fun. It's just different to have a little fun. Do you see Cam Newton, what he was wearing today? I love it. Guy's ready to go. He's just giving you real stuff. I don't know. Stidham, it's very vanilla. It's very Brady-like. Brady-like.
You know me and fun, Beetle.
Yeah, I know. I hate it. You hate fun.
Don't eat it.
It's a problem.
This is not about fun.
You got to lighten up.
This is about football. This is about the Patriots. It's about sports talk, baby.
That's
not fun. There's nothing fun about that. Do you think something happened with Stidham over here in the offseason, or did they change their view of him? In other words, you know, was the plan Stidham, and then at some point there in March it changed?
Yes. I think something had to have happened where they looked at it and said we would have liked him to be maybe ahead of where he is, and something clicked for them where they said, yeah, we're not so sure we want to roll with this guy. Let's go with another plan, too, to throw someone else in the mix.
What about May, Mark? Do you think something happened in May with Jared Stidham?
Oh, the wedding? Was that the wedding trip?
Yeah. Do you think he maybe left and went somewhere in the midst of, like, some meeting sessions
I would say that it's not a good idea to go to, in the middle of the pandemic, go to Texas for the wedding.
So I meant May. You know,
yeah, May is probably the better question, Felder.
Yeah, no, I think it's appropriate to ask that, but I do think... I think Belichick's always been intrigued by Cam Newton, though. So I think that was probably already in the back of his mind. And then being the way that he is, being as critical as he is, he was waiting for the moment where he could, you know, justify it to himself to pick up that phone again and call Cam Newton. And so something happened.
Why do you think Zoe is so still set on Stidham being the guy?
Because I think there are players on that team that believes Stidham is the guy or should be the guy, and Stidham has pre-existing relationships with a lot of key players on that team.
Huh.
And I think if you watch sort of the social media trail, you know that the offensive line, which is an important piece as a quarterback, and so is a quarterback. And who are all the friends? The offensive linemen. Like, quarterbacks have lineman friends a lot. And I just think there could be some key members of the team that look at it, and maybe some past members of the team who look at it and say, this guy's not going to pick it up. This guy's not going to adapt. He's not going to pick up what we did when we were there, and the way we play the game and prepare for the game and the coaching and the preparation. I think there are some real hesitations on people that have been through the Patriots system to feel like Cam Newton is going to be the guy. And I would say to all these people, and I've made this point on the 10 to 2 show, and that is, I just think that they're not believing in it because they've never seen this coaching staff facilitate a player the way I think they're going to do it for Cam Newton. They want Cam Newton to be their guy. They're going to, and I think they're on some level, they're going to look bad if Cam Newton is not their guy. And I think they're motivated to put him in a position to succeed. I do. And I think that's going to be a little bit of a shock to the system and a little different than the way the Patriots have always operated. They're in a different spot. They've had the same quarterback for two decades. Now they're going to go back to being like every other team that has to sort of figure it out year to year, or figure it out when they go into some of the valleys, if you will.
See, I wonder if their motivation is reverse, and their motivation is to get Stidham up and to give Stidham the hard coaching that he needs and use Cam a little bit. And that's not to say that Cam's still not the guy, that Bill can't say, you know what, you had your chance this year, you blew it, you have to sit another year. Just like Garoppolo and some others have done, you're just not going to get it this year, and I'm going to go with the guy that I've always liked. But the real motivation could be Stidham. I mean, I would like to think that the number one motivation is to win and to stick it to Brady and to, you know, have that thing going back and forth. But I think the motivations could go in both ways. I would not be surprised one bit if Cam Newton is cut in camp. And it's interesting. So that's Zoe's motivation. Because when you think, or that's his basis for his belief, because when you hear about Cam Newton and the support in the locker room, you'd think, you know, Cam Newton is like kind of like Randy Moss like for a lot of these young players. You know, he's an icon to a lot of these guys. And I think a lot of guys were really excited when he came in.
Mm-hmm.
But there's 60
Edelman
guys.
Edelman is very excited that Cam Newton is here. It's obvious. He's telling the world through his social media posts he is a Cam Newton guy. I think there are some lines being drawn on this team on sort of what camp you're in. And they haven't even had any real practices yet. But if you're putting guys in certain camps, I would put Edelman firmly in the Cam Newton camp. The post, the Photoshop with him and Cam right after the signing, the workouts in L.A., the pictures of the workouts here. There's a lot of smoke to that fire of Edelman's in the Cam Newton camp. He wants Cam Newton as his quarterback. And maybe there are some other players on that offense that go the other way. Could be some lines. And by the way, it's definitely a Hoyer Stidham versus Cam situation there. I think Hoyer and Stidham are sort of tied at the hip, if you will. It's two versus one is what it is.
So the whole thing, though, about how, you know, in May they may have changed their mind, the Texas trip may have had something to do with it. Like, I totally buy it. Jimmy, give me the Stidham fourth Q&A. So he's asked about his reaction.
We have at least four cuts of Stidham today?
Just listen, oh, just man. Relax. Go ahead. Here's Stidham on his reaction to the Newton signing.
Was there ever a point this offseason where, you know, you maybe had a different level of confidence that, you know.
Jimmy, I think it's the other one. I think it's that one.
Yeah, our numbers are off today. It's okay. Sorry. We'll figure it out.
Okay, but give me the
other. Jared, where were you when you heard about the Cam signing, and what was your reaction to it initially?
Yeah, no, I was actually back in Texas visiting some family when everything happened. But yeah. I honestly was excited. I, you know, was, you know, what a great opportunity to compete again, you know, compete with another great player.
Lie.
You know, compete with Hoy and Cam. So. You know, I was actually really, really excited for the opportunity ahead.
Why? Okay, so, dude, don't bring up the Texas trip anymore. Okay, it happened. Yeah, I was actually in Texas. Yeah, we know. So does the team. I wouldn't bring that one up again.
But don't you love? Don't you love? Like, that to me stood out. It's like, not only were they a little annoyed that he went to Texas, they signed Newton when he was there. Just a shout. Oh, how are you enjoying Texas? By the way, check your phone. Check the newspaper.
Was the bar still open when Cam Newton signed here in New England? I hope it was. Oh, my God. Yeah, where were you? I was at a wedding. Yeah, I was on the dance floor when Cam Newton got signed.
Exactly.
Awesome. Great. Congratulations.
Beetle hates Stidham. Long commercial-free segment. That's one of the things we've gleaned today. Back to your phones on everything right after this.
Never be left out of the conversation.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Never not once.
Felger.
Good God, man. Have some pride.
Mads.
That guy's psychotic.
98.5 Sports Hub.
Stop it.
Hey, Cam, you've accomplished a lot in your career so far, but in comments you've made so far this offseason, you seem pretty motivated. How much would you say you have to prove, if anything, heading into the season?
I don't have to prove nothing, because at the end of the day, especially not to nobody, I have to prove it to myself. That's a daily challenge, and I don't think nobody's expectations would ever surpass my expectations for myself. And I'm just looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, knowing and picking up this whole system, not only the philosophical way of the offense, but also, you know, how things are ran. You know, this is a new team. I've only been kind of geared towards one particular team and one particular city, but now moving, you know, to a whole nother residence has kind of put the onus of trying to adapt. And that's something that has been rather the interesting part.
Again, Cam Newton, Jared Stidham, and Brian Hoyer all spoke to the media today. We're cycling through the sound, giving you our thoughts and taking your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Mark the Beetle Bertrand is in for Maz. Have a really nice giveaway coming up on the Bruins. Well, like the other day, one that we just don't deserve. I say we. I mean, the Bruins fans, us, 2020. It's too good of a gift for a team that is sucking right now. I'm talking about the Bruins, but it's all for a good cause. I say that in the same breath as well. So that giveaway is coming up in a few minutes, so stay tuned for that. Mark, on in Jamaica Plain, though, on the Patriots quarterbacks. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, guys. So why not both? Why not two quarterbacks?
Oh, my God. We get that call all the time. I'm going to drop them. We get that all the time.
What does that mean? You play both?
The new Wildcat? Yeah.
Oh, no, get lost.
No. It means Drew Brees, Taysom Hill.
And who's Taysom Hill in that scenario?
Right. Exactly.
It better not be Cam Newton.
You think Cam Newton's going to be down with that?
No. No.
Oh, my God.
No.
We get that so often.
Nope. Not happening.
Bill in Florida with a Celtics thought here on Agenda Free Friday.
Here we go.
Go ahead, Bill. Hey, Bill, you're on.
Hello. Hi. What's going on, boys? Good to be on the show. Real quick, I gave a take two Februarys ago, how the Celtics have too much of a good thing, talent. And I don't think it's much of a coincidence that once Kemba Walker goes down, they score .149 and have a great game passing for 29 assists, as opposed to the previous game where they only had 14 assists. They were fifth worst about in the league in assists. That needs to change if they're going to do something.
You don't think it was a coincidence? Who did you play when Kemba Walker was up? The Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, let me fill in the blank for you. With the worst team left in basketball, just about. Team that doesn't really belong there.
Not really even belonging in the league right now.
I mean, seriously, when you look at their roster, all
relegation
the guys
for them.
So was the .149 about Kemba Walker being out or about the opponent? Would you please? Come on. Beetle, give me your temperature on the Celtics right now. How do you feel?
I feel okay about the Celtics. I think the way that Kemba Walker has played when he has played has been encouraging, because I've got some real concerns, or had some real concerns, about his health and about the knee. And Brad Stevens said on the station with us a week ago that, you know, it's the best it's been since he's been a Celtic. And I actually, after seeing him, I sort of believe it. So they need that guy. As far as how they've played, listen, the size matchup is going to be an issue for this team when they get into the playoffs. They're not going to the NBA Finals. That's how I feel about them. They're not going to make it that far. They'll be exposed at some point for not having size, or size that is of quality.
So size is so I think what holds them back is experience. That they just, you know, not their time. You know, I mean, it's Giannis's time, or Toronto has more guys that have been there. Like, they're just, it takes, there's a seasoning process for most of these teams, and I don't know if they've quite gone through it yet. You know, there's been a lot of good teams that haven't had size that, you know, are able to overcome it. For example, Philly has size on them, but I think Philly's a trash team. I mean, you should be able to beat Philly despite their size, and I think the Bucks are vulnerable too.
But trash teams with size can be really dangerous to a team that doesn't have any size, right? Yeah, I mean, does that make sense?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the reason they lost in five games last year was because of size. I mean, it never came down to
that. I think Giannis destroyed them, so I think that's part of it.
But they were checked out. Like, that was a team that was, you know, not together, and they hated each other, and they hated being out there. It just wasn't a good mix, and by the time you got there, the second they got any pushback, they were going to fall apart, and they did. I don't even think they got far enough. You know, they were together enough for it to come down to size. I like their chances, but I don't know. I don't know if they know what it takes yet to win. That's sort of my point. And, you know, when they figure it out, they should be that team.
Well, I just talked about Kemba Walker. The guy's never played in a playoff game.
Right.
You
exactly.
Know, as much as you might think he's a great player and you like him, he's never done it. So never had an opportunity to do it.
More on the Celtics if you want to weigh in. Gasper coming up at 4 o'clock as well. Eric and Winthrop on Cam Newton. Hi, Eric.
Oh, hey, guys. What's going on? I wasn't expecting to get called up so far. So, listen, this could be Belichick's greatest veteran pickup of all time, even rivaling, like, Randy Moss coming to town. This could revitalize the entire franchise. It's crazy. And Mike...
Okay, so I'm going to let you go, Beetle. If Cam Newton goes off this year, is Bill Belichick going to get credit for it? Or are people going to look at Bill Belichick and say, see, you're just about the quarterback. You know, Tom Brady fell in your lap and you won a bunch of games, and now Cam Newton came in here and went off and you won a bunch of games. Is Bill going to get credit for it, or are people going to use it against him?
I think he should get credit for it. I would give him credit for it. I would give him credit for going after Cam Newton as part of that because he's also the GM. But no, Cam Newton is sort of, if he goes out and he performs, a big part of that is that he's being put in a position to succeed. I think Bill will get appropriate credit.
I think he will, too. But I also sort of give him credit. You know, again, if Bill's only obsessed with this argument, you know, is it you or Brady? What's your importance to this run? And, you know, is it about you or is it about the quarterback? He would go with Stidham or Hoyer because that proves his point.
Right. He'd have more to gain in that department with Stidham.
Absolutely.
Right. Stidham be the starter and they win 10 games. That's going to be a credit to Bill, not Stidham.
Absolutely. Especially Hoyer.
That's not possible.
It is possible.
No, it's not.
They'd win the division with Hoyer. They would.
You got to go back and watch some more Brian Hoyer.
You know what? I said that before the opt-outs. The opt-outs have changed my mind a little bit, but pre-opt-out, they were winning the division with Brian Hoyer.
No, they weren't.
Yes, they were.
No, they weren't.
But the thing is, for Bill's argument, he's better off winning with one of those guys because then that proves a point. I can win with any quarterback. I can win with my chosen. If Cam Newton comes in and runs around and makes a bunch of plays, that sort of undercuts Bill's argument. So I sort of give him credit that the Newton signing is – a little egoless, you know what I mean? Because the Newton signing and Newton being out there is about Newton. It's not about Bill. It's not about the system.
Right. But I also think that in the end, Bill's not going to start a guy, and I really actually believe this. He's not going to start a guy unless he believes he could actually win a Super Bowl with that player. You know, throw everything out. It's in a vacuum, but that the potential is there to win the biggest game on the biggest stage with that player. I think if he thought Stidham was capable of that right now, he's the starter.
We continue with your calls on Agenda Free Friday. Couple open lines at 617-779-0985. Mo in the car on a Bruins thought. Go ahead, Mo.
Hey, guys. First time, long time. Felger, I just want to get your thoughts on a potential matchup with the Habs here because I know you don't like that, but they look slow coming out of the gate, and I want to know, did you think this is a series that these guys could get up for, look a little better?
You're not going to face the Habs. You've sucked so bad, you're not going to face the Habs if the Habs get through. You're going to face Carolina, most likely, and if Montreal blows it against Pittsburgh and Pittsburgh comes back, it would be Pittsburgh. So those are really, I think those are your two options if I have it right. Because, again, I think you're going to finish with the last seed. I think you're going to spit the bit against Washington over the weekend because you've shown me no indication that you care about these games or going to play well in these games. And so I think a loss to Washington is coming right down the pike. You're going to be the 4 seed. That means you face the highest remaining seed. And if Montreal wins as the 12, there's no chance to face them. So you avoid, if there's any silver lining, you avoid Montreal. What's your temperature on the Beatles? On the Bruins, Beetle?
Very, very concerned about the Bruins. They look disengaged, which is scary. They also look slow and old, like overnight. And I don't know if it's just because, you know, they talked about having older players and needing some time to get going. Here's like the one thing I'm banking on for them. There's going to be a point where they can flip that switch or get to the point where they feel good again. And it can happen for them. But it better happen quick, man. They look like hot garbage out there. I'm sorry. I know they were better in the game the other day. They were better, you know, second period, third period was better. Still don't feel good about that team. That feels like they are, if they don't get their act together quickly, they're looking at a first-round exit.
Yep.
That's what they look like right now.
I think they're in real trouble. I don't think they're good enough to flip a switch. I don't trust them to be that team. Like, we'll take it seriously when we have to, and we'll just show up.
Every Bruins fan should fear that they are this year's Tampa Bay.
Absolutely. That they have whatever sort of edge they had, a great edge all season long. They just lost it in the apocalypse and they can't get it back. And that's sort of what I feel is what we're looking at. So you can weigh in on that. Whatever you want. It's Agenda Free Friday. Again, we have a great Bruins giveaway coming up, so you don't want to miss that. There's no commercials. We'll give it away next segment. So stay tuned if you want a real nice prize. We're going to hit on something else of Patriots quarterback related. Their former quarterback sending signals, intentionally putting it in your face, how hard he's working. I want Beatles' thought on that. We'll get to it after McCone's update. It takes 90 seconds, and there are no commercials.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.